Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
President Trump turning the desperate search for ventilators to help treat the most critical coronavirus patients into a political fight between himself, several governors, and several American corporations. But how did we get to this point in the first place? And what's the quickest way to get out of it? Frank Kendall is an independent consultant to defense firms. He formerly served as Undersecretary for Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics in the Obama administration.
So, Frank, we hear all these projections about what we may or may not need in terms of thousands of ventilators. Where are you at with this?
Our normal supply with some reserves is not enough to handle the massive number of cases that are expected. We're looking at exponential growth of the disease still. New York is ahead of a lot of other parts of the country, but we're starting to see other places go down the same trajectory. It's just that New York got there first. So we're going to need a lot more of these. I've heard estimates that are pretty widely varying, but tens of thousands is not outrageous at all, and we just don't have them. Industry is trying to respond. The firms in the United States, a lot of them are made overseas. Industry is trying to respond and ramp up production. And other companies like the car companies are trying to get, you know, into that game. There are two things that I think should have been done a long time ago, quite frankly. One is to nationalize this problem and start managing it as the national problem it is. The virus is going to attack everywhere. It knows no boundaries. Everybody's going to need ventilators, and there aren't going to be enough, no matter how much we do now to try to make more. So we need to set up a national command and control team that is supervising this and allocating ventilators where they need to be used the most, where they're most urgently needed. Once you sign one to a patient, it's going to be gone for a while. It's going to be with that patient for some time, a couple of weeks. So you've got to be careful how you do this. You need a planning mechanism for this. Letting governors decide on their own how much they need and then compete with each other in the marketplace is not the way to address this problem. It is like a war, and it needs to be thought of that way and managed that way. And it's a national war. It's not a collection of state wars. It's a national war.
But we're in a position, and you know, there's no other way to put it. I don't want to politicize this medical issue, but the fact of the matter is, as I think we all know, the president of the United States does not think that this is that big an issue. Does not think that there's as great a need for ventilators as he's being told by governors and by medical experts. So, what now?
Well, I think within another 2 weeks, it's going to be glaringly obvious to everybody how much of a shortfall we have. I'm watching the statistics on this. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I understand data. And if you look at the growth rate of the disease, and I'm particularly focused on the death rate increase, we're going right up an exponential curve with so far no sign of any bending. The death rate is one of the more reliable pieces of data we have comparatively. We didn't test in the beginning, so we don't have good background data on how much the disease had spread or where it is or how widespread it is. But we do, I think, know enough now to know that it is quite widespread within the country, moving on different timelines as we talked about. So if you look at those curves, we're going to be doubling the numbers of people that die every few days. Every 3 or 4 days. That's where we've been for some time now. If you look at the numbers coming out of Italy, they're just a large number announced. We're headed in that direction. You can do the math and make some assumptions about what number of cases the deaths that we're seeing today mean that we had 4 weeks ago. It takes about 4 weeks for a case to reach the point of death. And once you understand what we had 4 weeks ago, then you can do the math to figure out how many cases we have now, which will tell you how many ventilators we're going to need 4 weeks from now. Those numbers are very high, and that's what I'm watching. And I just don't seem to think that certainly the president, and I would say others, don't appreciate how big those numbers can grow and how quickly. The steps we've taken with social distancing and so on will slow this down. That's what they're meant to do. They're meant to relieve the load on our medical system. But we moved way too late. We moved much later than we should have. And we probably haven't done enough, even at this stage.
Does some of it come down to what you said just a minute ago, was once you give one to somebody, they need it for a couple or a few weeks, so it's out of the system? Because if you don't have enough, then you have to start making decisions, like we saw in Italy, who gets them, who doesn't, or who gets taken off of one. And that's a decision you don't want to make.
I think that's going to happen. I think it's going to happen on a much larger scale than people appreciate. It's a worldwide demand too, right? We do have companies in the U.S., a handful that make these. We could get other companies into making them. That's not going to be quick or easy. The whole supply chain has to be engaged there, not just the manufacturers.
Well, let me interrupt. Let me interrupt only because while we've been talking, something just came up. I was reading that the president has apparently invoked the act that he needed to invoke in order to get General Motors to produce ventilators. Again, too little, too late?
The more we can do, the better. It is later than it should have been done. A lot of people have been screaming, sending letters and talking publicly about the need to utilize the Defense Production Act. The way the president has talked about it is if he was nationalizing industry, socialism essentially. That's not what the DPA does. The DPA in a crisis, in a wartime, gives the president the authority to direct manufacturers to make certain things. And it gives the president the opportunity to decide where those things will go. Who will get them first, basically. In a crisis like this, the marketplace is not good at sorting that out. And the other things that the DPA gives the president the authority to do is to purchase things that are necessary to create more product, more production, the machine tools and so on, basically. That's a longer term thing. That's a little more complicated. But the president can do that also. He has a lot of authority under the DPA. One of the things he can go do is he can go to a company that currently makes ventilators and say, I'm going to take your design, your intellectual property, I'm going to give it to this other person or these other firms so they can build your design. So he has a proven design and people aren't trying to repurpose car parts, for example. People have to be compensated for this, and the government can work all that out, but it's not a bidding war between governors. The government has mechanisms by which it can set prices, essentially, for the things that it's buying if negotiations aren't successful. There's a lot of authority there, but to use it, you have to assume some responsibility for the problem. And the president seems to be avoiding that. He seems to be trying to treat this as a problem that the governors have that he's going to help with. And I don't think that's the nature of the problem that we have.
All right. Frank, thanks for the time.